It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
All right, it's time to talk politics, get reaction to Donald Trump's speaking to the nation last night. Jeff Hayden, former Minnesota State Senator, he is in the building again. How you been?
Good, man. Good. Good to be here.
Man, yeah. Good to be here. Happy to have you in studio as always, especially with all this dang snow, man.
Yeah, man, it was a lot of snow. It was coming down.
Oh, my God.
I did a little TV. I did a little Care 11 yesterday, and it was coming down like crazy.
It was coming down, yeah. Be safe on the roads out there, people. Yes. Be safe on the roads. Yes. All right, let's start with just your reaction to Donald Trump's speech last night.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think Donald Trump gave a speech to the people that voted for him. It was a red meat speech. It really didn't lay out his plan and how he would do it. He just reiterated kind of the things that he said on the campaign trail. Often he would say them over and over again, right? And so I was sharing with you guys before, I think he was vacillating from, like, talking to the teleprompters and the speechwriters, and then kind of looking out to the crowd and seeing people that he knew and he liked. And it somewhat reminds me, and Lake, you'll understand this, of a Baptist preacher. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And they're saying a sermon, and they got a prepared text, and then it gets good to them, and then they start talking to everybody in the crowd.
They start freestyling.
And they start freestyling, and you look up, and it's 2 hours later, and your stomach is grumbling, and you want to go to lunch, but you're still at church, right? And so I think that that's what it was, is he was preaching to the choir pretty strongly. In terms of, like, what he said and what he was going to do, it didn't work.
Not
a lot of substance. Okay. And a lot of things that he said actually weren't true. And when you start to fact check, and I know people think that that's subjective, but objectively, there were just things that just weren't true. You know, he was talking about the economy and what he was left. He had a great economy when he started. I mean, those are things that are true. And when he got one before, when he was the president, he had a great economy. And, you know, the subjective notion that he's the second best president as opposed to George Washington. Like, there was just a lot of those kind of things. Some nice moments, some touching moments, him reaching out that most presidents will do that speak to people who have overcome, the young boy that overcame cancer, want to be a police officer, or some of the red meat issues around, you know, the transgender sports stuff, which, you know, people care about a lot. You know, I won't give my opinion on that quite yet, but I think those kind of things that he was speaking to his folks. I will say this, though, that when the president of the United States says that he's going to put a tariff on everybody and everything, it has an effect on the markets, right? right? It has an effect on diplomacy. And the last thing I'll say just kind of for now is that I don't think I've ever heard, and I know we like plain spoken people, but there's a level of diplomacy that you need to have when you're talking to the country, much less the leader of the free world. And I don't think Donald Trump cares a lot about that.
Yeah. So what would you say is the, I want to get back to diplomacy in a few minutes, but what would you say about the Democrats' reaction to a speech last night? Did you hear their
Yeah, I thought the retort was great. You know what I mean? It just escapes me her name, the new senator from Michigan, who's amazing. I thought she was good. I thought, you know, Al Green, a 25-year vet, and we said this too, you know, when you get a little up in age, depending upon who you are, and we like to say, you know, he kind of gave you that old grandpa thing where he was going to say what
he had
to say.
I think her name is Elisa Slotkin, right?
Slotkin, yes. So she was great. I think Al Green's like protest, but you know, like, you know, there was Republican members in the Biden administration, in the Obama administration that had outbursts or whatever. So I don't think that was as big a deal as people made it. I think that Democrats wanted to make, they had those signs that talked about Medicaid and other things that they really found was repulsive, the stuff that Doge is doing. And though people might have felt like that was either out of pocket or Democrats think they should have did more, he reacted to that. And as a former elected official, and you're speaking to a crowd, you actually see the crowd and you actually are kind of reacted to their body language. And you saw President Trump a lot refer to Democrats and refer to this side of the aisle and that these guys should stand up and that these guys should like me. So they were getting to him. He was going off. He was getting off his script, off his teleprompter to kind of react directly to either comments, boos, or those signs that Democrats have. You know, it's a stylistic thing. I think Speaker, our leader, Jeffries, really wanted to not have such a big disruption along the way. Mm-hmm. He wanted Democrats to be civil in their tone, and they wanted to really have this kind of civil disobedience kind of posture. But I do believe that they're certainly showing up on all the socials. People like Pete Buttigieg and others are really speaking against kind of what the president did. They're fact checking them. And then there's going to be time to pass a budget here real soon. And I think you'll see Democrats really speak up then when they get the opportunity.
Talking to Jeff Hayden in studio here on the Lake Show News Talk 830 WCCO. Before we get back to Trump for a second, specifically maybe things that he talked about or maybe were addressed last night. What did you make of the moment where he's walking out and Chief Justice John Roberts, he said to him, like, I won't forget, like basically like thanking him for something that he's done for him. He says, I won't forget about you. Like, that was kind of an odd moment. And people are like, hold on, we're just talking like that recklessly. Yeah. With cameras?
It has been pretty weird. This Supreme Court, you know, I mean, Chief Justice Roberts is, you know, kind of above reproach is the idea that the Supreme Court is. You know, Clarence Thomas and Anthony Scalia have already shown that that's not the case. But the idea is that, you know, that Supreme Court justices are above reproach, that they don't make up their mind on things until the case is in front of them and they're very thorough and walking it through. So to the extent that President Trump is indicating or signaling to the Chief Justice, thanking him for something that he's done or that he's about to have done, it's totally inappropriate. And I'm sure the Chief Justice didn't appreciate that.
Yeah, it was almost kind of like Trump put him on the spot, and because he had that look on his face where he's kind of like, hey, why are you talking like
this? Exactly. So no matter what you like, I mean, he's a pretty conservative guy. He's not my cup of tea. But, you know, we have to, you know, and this gets into this issue, our basic civics program. We have the judiciary. We have the legislative body. We have the executive body. President Trump, along with, you know, Elon Musk, are pushing the executive privileges beyond way than where they should be. They're creating a constitutional crisis. You know, the legislature has the power of the purse, or Congress, if you will. The legislative body has the power of the purse, and there are a lot, and they have oversight, and there's a lot of things that you need to work through them. The executive branch has the right to veto that, right? And then they have the right to execute that. So there's things that they're doing that even now the Supreme Court is saying, wait a minute, you're getting a little outside of your lane. So that is the ultimate backstop, is the judicial branch. And I think that President Trump and co-president Musk or Elon Musk are really pushing that issue.
How much of what we're seeing with Doge is actually legal?
Well, most people would say almost all of it is not legal. Not that the president can't make some decisions about what the workforce looks like, but in terms of, like, you know, going in and cutting off people's, you know, pay or just firing them summarily. Yep. There's going to be some litigation there, cutting off aid, cutting off procurement that's already, you know, it's kind of like if you already signed your contract and your paycheck's in the mail or it's in the way and all of a sudden the radio station pulls it back, you're like, wait a minute, we got an agreement. And if I haven't violated anything in the agreement, or even if your contract says that we can 30, 60, 90 days say that we can both kind of walk away, you still have to honor that. The general manager, you know, and I don't know what your contract is, but, you know, just for the sake of this conversation, they have to honor the agreement that you made with them. Now, if you're saying I'm working on an hourly basis and you can get rid of me at any time, so be it. But a lot of that is not what's happening here.
Yep.
So you see the court starting to weigh in. And I think that there is kind of a really interesting game of chicken, and there is some bullying tactics that just says, hey, do you want to go? Hey, send me an email and tell me what you've done this week. You know, that's not how it really works, right? Like, I work for, you know, a firm, and my boss and I go at the beginning of year, we lay out what my goals are, and then we check in throughout the year, and then coming up at the end of the year, we go in, and he says, this is what you did, and this is what you didn't do, this is what you did well, this is what you didn't do well, and my pay, my performance, if I'm going to be with the firm or not, is going to be based on something that we agreed to, not just somebody who just, you know, sends me an email out of nowhere that I don't know, have never reported to, is going to tell me that now I got to prove to them that I'm worthy of the job. Especially, what if you're the microbiologist at the, you know, Boundary Waters canoe area? What does Elon Musk know about that? And why do you got to go talk to them? Maybe you go talk to the microbiologist supervisor and tell them that you've been out there in the ice and you know what's going on with the tadpoles. But I don't think that Elon Musk has the right to do that.
I don't know why I'm giving out the phone number, because we're not taking phone calls. Jeff Hayden in studio. We're talking about the speech last night from Donald Trump. Let's take a brief pause. When I come back, because I actually want to ask you about just kind of your reaction and maybe the world's reaction as to the visit from President Zelensky last week, and how everybody's reacting to that, and what you know, the folks in Europe are saying about everything that's happening. More with Jeff Hayden next year on The Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com. It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
All right, Jeff Hayden back in studio.
Hey, hey.
On the Lake Show. President Zelensky from Ukraine visited the White House last week.
Right.
And in my opinion, was not treated well. He was treated poorly. Yeah, and I think that people, depending on your politics and who you support, will say that he disrespected the office. I didn't feel that way because, to me, when you're a gentleman that is representing your country's in the middle of a war that you did not start, people are dying, he's fighting for their livelihood, he is there and he's trying to negotiate, and the word that was used was diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
J.D. Vance, I thought, treated him poorly. President Donald Trump treated him poorly. The dynamics now out of that, in that he comes out of that meeting, essentially, in the way that it was kind of spun was like he was kind of like shunned out of the White House, whatever. But the reaction around the world, where people were looking at him and saying, look, we feel you. We understand, and we do not support the way that all of this was handled. How do you feel about where we're at with the diplomacy between the Ukraine, Russia, in USA mix, as well as what all the other countries around the world are looking at with regards to us needing to be part of supporting Ukraine?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, President Zelensky is a pretty smart guy, and I think he knew what he was walking into. And I think that, for instance, symbolically, where he doesn't wear a suit and tie, he wears what looks like to be fatigues or clothes of war. That's strategic. It doesn't mean that he doesn't own a suit or can't get a suit. So the whole kind of idea of why don't you have a suit and you're disrespecting me and thanking me.
That was them taking a shot at him.
Well, and what he's saying is, I can wear a suit when the war is over. I can wear a costume and when I celebrate when the war is over. But right now I'm in solidarity with my people who are losing their lives, right? So when he got there, he needed to make sure that he was representing their interests and that he didn't look like he was some fat cat who doesn't care about his people and is just going to go wine and dine in America while people don't have power and food and nuclear reactors are melting down and all of the other atrocities that are going on in the Ukraine. So he understood that. The second thing was, the idea that I needed to not – he said, we thank the American people, and he understands that for your support. But the idea that he needed to placate President Trump's ego or Vice President Vance's ego was where I think that the diplomacy was all lost. Mm. I'm a former elected official. I call it a recovering elected official. But all of us that are elected officials, this isn't about Jeff Hayden. This is about – there was about the people of Senate District 62, and it was my oath to the Constitution of the United States and to the Constitution of Minnesota. And so the idea that Vice President Vance thinks that President Zelensky needs to kowtow and say thank you to President Trump directly as an individual and not to the country that he represents, I think people got that, right? Mm-hmm. People understood it. The other thing is that when he went back to Europe, these people understand that if history teaches us anything, that if Ukraine is given away, first of all, President Putin is violating the Minsk Accords. I'm not a foreign policy expert, but I can read enough about it, where part of that conversation was when Ukraine became independent and independent from Russia, they had nuclear arms, that they gave their nuclear arms back, you know, to Russia to take out of service as a way. But then at that point, they would have security that then they wouldn't be invaded. Otherwise, they would have kept their nuclear arms as a way to deter exactly what happened, right?
Like, I'm just breaking it down. Yes.
They wanted assurances. So Putin broke that, right? And somehow President Trump and J.D. Vance and others seem to, like, not talk about that and somehow say that Zelensky, the victim, like, this is, you know, kind of classic what they call, and I'll be careful here, but intimate partner violence is the word they use now, Henry. That used to be called domestic abuse or an abuser, where they come in and hit you in the mouth and say it was your fault because your mouth was in the way of their fist,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that's and then in the morning say, I'm sorry, sweetheart, you know, I was drinking and I didn't mean to do it, and then come back the next week and do it again,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's the feeling, the vibe I have. Maybe people will disagree with me. So the idea that this kind of, like, and it's a bit of an overused term, but this gaslighting that somehow Zelensky was the problem when he's simply coming here saying that you invaded my country, you took my sovereignty away, I'm trying to get NATO or I'm trying to get the United States or the people who are part of that accord to live up to their promise, which is to protect me from Putin. The last thing I will say is that Europeans, this is how World War II really got going, is that Hitler started this. Once again, I know that that's a trigger word for people out here, but this is just the truth, kind of started this, and he started marching through Europe, right? And people are very afraid, and they should be, that Putin, if he does that to Ukraine, then he's going to go to the other Baltic states. Does he go to Poland, and then does he head to France and the rest of the region, right? This is something that is near and dear to them. It would be the same thing that is if Mexico or Canada, which I know we're talking about, invaded the United States. I know that they wouldn't do that. They don't have the power to do it. Mm-hmm. But it's similar to think about it in that way, that all of a sudden, if we're up north in Ely or Hibbing and all those places way up there, Lake Vermilion, and all of a sudden Canadian troops started crossing the border and taking over Mille Lacs or something, right?
Yep.
Like, we would start to say, hey, what the heck is going on? I think people really need to understand that, in this idea that America is becoming isolated, right, versus being able to say that, listen, we want to make sure that we keep peace around the world, and we're going to support kind of the world so that we don't end up with these dictators, regardless if they're in Russia or China or South Korea or Hungary, all of these kind of strong men kind of folks. Like, we were the folks that were about freedom and democracy, and you know, and regardless if people believe that or not, and I know that there's people say, oh, America hasn't done that or not, but that's what we kind of stand on, you know, Henry and I, the young folks say they're standing on business, and right, and that's what United States said that they were standing on, is helping preserve democracy everywhere that they can. And now it looks like we're taking a turn to be isolationist, and somehow flipping the script to say that somehow Putin should deserve to get a piece of the Ukraine back, right? Like, that's kind of bizarre to me, and I think everybody's trying to figure this out.
Yeah, we're talking to former Minnesota Senator Jeff Hayden here on the Lake Show News Talk 830 WCCO. Final thing for you, because we got a couple of minutes left in this segment. I want to bring it back local. I know that he has said that there's not going to be any touching of Medicaid, but how concerned should people out there listening be with regards to everything that's going on?
Well, let me say this. They should be very concerned. You're in my wheelhouse. When I was in the legislature, I was the ranking member on health care. So that was my job every single day, to think about Medicaid and Medicare and the whole health and human service system. Let me give you a touch point. Senator Jim Abler from Anoka is a longstanding Republican senator who has been the chair of Health and Human Service, the ranking member of Health and Human Service. He sent a letter with 15 other Republican legislators to Congressman Emmer, Congressman Fishbach, Congresswoman Fishbach, who are both former Minnesota legislators. I served with them, saying this is the damage that you're going to do to this state. So the Democrats are likely going to send that letter and are talking about it. But we have 15 to 16 Minnesota legislators who said this is going to do irreparable damage if we make large cuts to Medicaid and Medicare in this state.
So, yeah, everybody should be concerned.
They should be concerned.
I've had people that listen to the show that have said, no, he's not going to do anything. He's not going to. And I'm like, well, the smoke is fire. And
oh, absolutely.
There's too much conversation about it.
Absolutely. Who knows what's going to happen if you can do it. But if they do it and they start to do that, it's going to harm the whole state. This is not – I think sometimes we get caught up in, you know, obviously Democrats and Republicans, we're in this kind of battle. But if we kind of sit back and say, listen, we have an age tsunami going on. We have more people that are turning 65, 70, 75 that need the services that are given for Medicaid. We are a state that has valued this idea that we have people with disabilities. disabilities and that we're going to treat them humanely, get them to work, make sure that we take care of them. Those are the kind of services and dollars that Medicaid gives. If we start to cut that, the state budget is a third of the state budget. It comes from the federal government, and two-thirds of that is in that Medicaid or Health and Human Service space. So once again, when you have Republicans sending letters to HHS Robert Kennedy, to our Republican Congress members, and by proxy to the president saying, don't do this, you're going to hurt the state, that's how important this is. It is a bipartisan issue. It is not a partisan issue.
Yep. Hey, I appreciate you, my man.
Yeah.
All right. Expertise.
Love it.
Jeff Hayden joining us here on the Late Show News Talk 830 WCCO. Coming up next, we talk to Fox 9 news anchor Randy Meyer. He joins us next here on the Late Show. And that would be Randy Meyer joining us here on the John Shuster-Cole Banker Hotline. And it sounds like Randy might have a bone to pick with me after my appearance last Sunday night on Fox 9. I'm not sure what the deal is, but what you got for me, Randy?
That's actually the opposite of I have to backtrack here a little bit. Ahmad, our sports anchor, was referencing his interview with you, and he made a comment about your cologne. All I said was, that Henry Lake is a fine-smelling man, and I meant it. And it went a little wild out there, so that's it.
And
I was being completely truthful, and everybody else was aghast that I would say something like that on television, but I'm a truth speaker.
Hey, I appreciate you giving me props, man. I appreciate you giving me a lot of props. I truly do. Are you a cologne guy? Are you a fragrance guy yourself?
I'm inconsistent on that. I will use it if my wife buys it for me, and then when it's over, I forget to tell her, and I can go months without it.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
So I would say I'm not very consistent with that. I do remember, though, back in the day, those high school days, maybe that's probably before your time, Henry, but Brute was the big thing for high school dudes back then.
Old Spice, Brute, all that stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Your grandfathers and your fathers had Old Spice, but we had Brute. It was the best, or we thought it was.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, let me ask you this with regards to, and I talked about this a little bit earlier on the show. Not that I'm, like, appalled or anything, but, like, leaving the station last night and heading home and just kind of witnessing how people were utilizing the roadways, I just don't understand why people are in such a rush, specifically when the conditions are just terrible, not good, it's slick. I saw a couple of different cars and vehicles that were on the side of the road. A couple of them were in crashes, clearly because they kind of spun out. And I'm just saying to myself, I don't understand why our driving has really taken such a downward spiral here in the last couple of years. What do you make of people driving in horrible conditions and acting like they're on the Autobahn?
Yeah. Are you trying to wind me up? Did somebody set me up for this thing?
No.
You know that I drive a long way every day, right? I'm turning about 100 miles over every day when you take into account the to and from and the little bit of puddling around I do here in Eden Prairie in my dinner break. So I do a lot of interstate driving. And I will tell you, Henry, since the pandemic, people clearly drive much faster than they did before that. And I would attribute that to, and this is snow on the road or otherwise, I would attribute that to when the pandemic was on, and I was still driving back and forth to work every single day. The roads were virtually empty. They were racetracks, and the miles per hour went up at 10 miles per hour on the interstate in my anecdotal experience. And it really hasn't gone back much since then. As far as the winter driving goes, well, I could fall victim to being one of those people that I'm fortunate that I have a very heavy duty four-wheel drive. So I have been known to swing into that left, not even a lane when we had the kind of snow we had last night,
mm-hmm.
and get around the 30 mile an hour people. Mm-hmm. But I'm very safe. I've not crashed.
You won't ride my bumper, will you?
No. Oh God, no. No. I will not ride your bumper. At all. I will get over and I will get in deep snow, but I will, it was the most frustrating thing last night, and God bless MnDOT Plus because they do a great job. But my timing was beautiful last night. I come out of here, we were on late because of the president's speech. I come out of here, it's about 11:40, and it's right in the heart of the worst snow, right?
Yeah.
And I get behind the line of snowplows. They're, you know, side by side all across 494. So you're going nowhere at 10 to 12 miles an hour. Wow. And it's a little frustrating,
yeah.
Although I appreciate what they're doing. But, you know, at that time of night, I want to get home. It's late. You know, I'm
just
probably
be
not
safe.
The most patient person.
It's all about being safe. It's all about being safe. What I want to happen is, however long it takes, I want Randy Meyer to get from home to the station, station to home, all in one piece.
That's what Kelsey says.
We're talking to Fox 9 News anchor Randy Meyer joining us here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, let's get into some of the top headlines and stories that you guys will be covering on the news, and I would assume that the top story would be the storm.
Yeah, we'll follow up on the storm, the fallout from that. Obviously, a lot of crashes. We'll get with the State Patrol and talk about what they experienced with people, as you noted, going off the road with this crash. It was a bad one. I mean, as Chris Schaefer just mentioned in the weather, I mean, it was our biggest snowfall of the season, certainly this season, and I think he noted last season as well. I don't know about where you live, but where I live, we had all of 9 to 10 inches on the east side of town. We'll try and clean up that mess and note that, you know, a difference of a few hours with the sun angle right now, it makes a big difference. Those highways were clean, were clear by tonight. So the going home tonight was a lot better for folks leaving work tonight. We'll also look at, I know you covered it, Henry, but that 11-year-old girl who died in that crash last week from Independence, the whole family was involved in that crash. They were hit by an 18-year-old man who ultimately ended up being charged with in a situation with a stabbing a few days later. But we sit down and talk to her parents. The parents were in the vehicle. Other kids were in the vehicle. And just kind of how they're coping and getting through what is an absolutely tragic situation for that family. And they have a lot to say about how they will be remembering her. Kelsey also did a sit-down interview with the CEO of Sun Country Airlines. Coincidentally, the sit-down interview took place on the day of the Delta flip-over crash.
Oh, wow.
Up in Toronto. Yeah, and so they talk about you know, the hometown nature of Sun Country Airlines, how it's kind of got nine lives. You think about the history of that airline. They'll talk about the industry itself, the airline industry itself, and where it seems to be going. And then, of course, the safety of flying today. So we cover a lot of ground in that sit-down interview as well. So, yeah, it's a busy night, and we're on top of it.
Yeah, busy night, man. Absolutely busy night. Let me ask you this, because you're a sports fan, too. How many
yeah. –
now, you're a Packer fan. Do you get to any Packer
right.
games a year?
I do, yeah. I do. I try to get to Lambeau once a year.
Okay, Lambeau once a year. How many Minnesota Wild games do you try to get to a year?
I used to go to several. I haven't been to any in the last couple seasons. It's just because logistically it just wasn't going to work out for me.
Yeah.
I also, it's a little bit different situation now too. A buddy of mine had season tickets, so it was a lot easier to go. He's since let those go, so that makes it a little more difficult. But, you know, our schedule is weird.
Yep.
Mine is in particular, and yours is too. It's tough to carve out game time during the week, certainly impossible for me. So it's been harder to get to some of those games. Enjoy it. I love going to Viking games. I just, you know, we're the Viking station. I work Sundays. It gets hard to do that, you know?
Yeah. I was just curious just because, you know, because of your work schedule and you being a sports fan and you kind of juggling a lot of the stuff and you know, you're working during the weekend and I see you on weekends at times. It's just like it's got to be hard to, you know, if you have a team that you want to go and check out or if there's a game that you want to go see, you can't always do that just because your schedule is so frantic.
It's definitely not spur of the moment stuff.
Yeah.
I have to look at the schedules and I have to plan it out. For me, you know, I would have to take a vacation day. I mean, the station's very gracious about that stuff, but and I I can get off when I need to get off. That's not a problem. But I do need to plan those things out in order for them to happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hey, Randy, well, go ahead. You were about to say something?
No, I was just going to say, I'm hoping those types of things get better when the day comes and I am retired. It's in some form or fashion where I have more flexibility. That's the one thing with your job and my job, Henry, is that we don't have the same flexibility that people that are in our lives have. My buddies who I went to college with, you know, they had the type of job they go, yeah, I'm going to knock it off early today, or yeah, I'm going to take Friday off. We just don't have that luxury doing what we do.
Yeah.
So it's a limiting factor that, you know, you just get used to, but sometimes you're reminded it's a pretty restrictive industry that we've chosen.
Yeah.
In terms of our personal lives.
For sure. Hey, Randy, always a pleasure to have you on the show, my man.
Thanks, Henry. And you are a fine-smelling man. I actually thought that might be, that should be your tagline. Henry, a fine-smelling man.
Hey, the next time I see you, I'm going to bring you a sample of some fine-smelling cologne.
Love it. I would appreciate that.
All right, I got you. That's Randy Meyer, Fox 9 News anchor, joining us here on The Lake Show, courtesy of the John Chuzicola Banker Hotline. We will break. We'll come back. And we'll get to headlines. That's next year on The Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
All right, headlines, Christopher Tubbs. You let me know what we're about to dive into, because I am all ears.
There you go. I like that. I like it when you're all ears. I like it when people listen to me. Even if I don't have anything constructive to say, I like it when people listen. So this is my segment, my bit. I'm going to own it. Right? Hey, the Lake Superior Zoo is going to take in some of the animals from the recently shuttered SeaQuest Aquarium and Petting Zoo in Roseville, and they've begun fundraising to cover the cost for the veterinary care and transportation to Duluth. Hundreds of animals are in need of new homes and immediate care after the attraction in the Rosedale Center closed last month as the company goes through Chapter 11 bankruptcy proceedings. Federal judge on Friday signed off on a motion to allow mammals, reptiles, and birds to be transferred to accredited facilities and enlisted the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, the AZA, to help with the relocation. Officials from the Lake Superior Zoo will visit SeaQuest Roseville locations this week to assess the condition of several species and transport them to Duluth. Upon their arrival, they will be given time to rest before undergoing thorough examinations, testing, and medical treatment, the statement said. After assessing the animals' conditions, some may remain in Duluth while others will be sent to other facilities. The AZA is known for its standards when it comes to animal care, was enlisted to help rehome SeaQuest inhabitants. According to court documents, anybody who would like to help the Lake Superior Zoo can donate on the zoo's website.
That'd be cool. That's cool. I mean, who wouldn't want to help a zoo? Who wouldn't want to donate to a zoo?
I mean, these animals need help. These animals, like, they don't
we
ask,
all need help.
Yeah, they don't ask for this. So I think this is pretty cool. I've always been an advocate for animals. So this is really cool. Hey, Greenland's prime minister. I don't know if you guys have heard about Greenland or Red, White, and Blue Land, or I don't even know what we're calling it now. But apparently,
it's still Greenland.
It's going to be a part of the United States. It's just a matter of time. But their prime minister declared today that Greenland is ours and cannot be taken or bought in defiance of a message from U.S. President Donald Trump, who said the United States will acquire the territory, quote, one way or another, even though his administration supports the Arctic's island right of self-determination. Now, Prime Minister Mette Boerup-Aggade said the island citizens are neither American nor Danish because they are Greenlandic. The United States needs to understand that, he wrote in a post in Greenlandic and Danish on Facebook on Wednesday, adding that the future of Greenland will be decided by its people. His post came hours after Trump made a direct appeal to Greenlanders in a speech to Congress last night, a week before islanders head to the polls for the parliamentary elections. Quote, we strongly support your right to determine your own future, and if you choose, we welcome you into the United States of America. Trump said, we will keep you safe. We will make you rich. And together, we will take Greenland to the heights that you've never thought possible before. But Trump also said his administration is working with everybody involved to try and get it, referring to his wishes to acquire Greenland from Denmark, a longtime U.S. ally. He said, quote, we need it for international world security. We really do. And I think we're going to get it one way or the other. We're going to get it. Now, many in Greenland, a vast and mineral rich island that is a semi-autonomous territory of Denmark, are worried and offended by Trump's threats to seize control of their homeland. Asked about Trump's comments, Denmark's foreign minister, Lars Løkke Rasmussen, said that he did not think Greenlanders wanted to separate from Denmark in order to instead, quote, become an integrated part of America.
Yeah, I just think that this whole part, this fascination with Greenland and just trying to take over Greenland and just trying to, that's.
It's just really weird.
It is weird, and it's kind of cringe to me, like, because he's staying on this message of taking it over.
Yeah.
And if the people are like, we're not like, no, we're proud that we're Greenland. Like, we don't want anybody to do anything to us.
Yeah. It's kind of that old, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, why would Greenland, with everything that they're seeing happen here, why would this be an appealing option? Even if it was, if I'm Greenland, I'm saying, no, I'm good. I'm gonna stay put. I'm gonna see this thing through. Yeah, the fascination with Greenland and the Panama Canal. Can we maybe be obsessed with the price of groceries, or is that not a thing anymore? Because I'm starting to get the hint that maybe groceries and the price of what we're paying, maybe that wasn't really a priority. I don't know. I don't want to say that Donald Trump lied to us, but I'm starting to get the sense that maybe that's not exactly what we were told. Hey, as part of the investigation into the causes of death for Gene Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, continues, the possibility of a gas leak inside their home appears to be conclusively ruled out. On Tuesday, the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office issued an update based on the New Mexico Gas Company's extensive investigation for gas leaks and carbon monoxide at Gene Hackman's home, which was conducted the evening of February 26. These results, they say, are not believed to be a factor in the deaths of Gene Hackman, Betsy Arakawa, or their dog, according to the Sheriff's Department. Nevertheless, the findings were sent to the Office of Medical Investigator for consideration. Now, in a press conference last week, the Sheriff's Department ruled out carbon monoxide poisoning as a potential cause of death for the couple, revealing that the test came back negative. Now, Hackman and Arakawa were found dead alongside their dog by neighborhood security officials in their Santa Fe, New Mexico home on February 26th. Hackman's pacemaker revealed his last event was recorded on February 17, 2025. Yeah. Sheriff's office added, adding that it was a very good assumption to conclude that that was Hackman's last day of life more than a week before he was found. Now, according to a search warrant affidavit, authorities found the actor in a mudroom near his cane appearing to have fallen while his wife, Arakawa, was found in an open bathroom near a space heater with an open prescription bottle and pills scattered on the nearby countertop. A deputy observed Arakawa with body decomposition, bloating in her face, and mummification of her hands and feet. Now, one of the couple's dogs was also found dead less than 15 feet away from her in a closet, while two other dogs were found alive in the bathroom near Arakawa and outside. Authorities have called these circumstances suspicious, while noting, quote, no foul play is suspected at this time.
This is just a very weird situation.
Very weird.
In my opinion. Yeah, I hope that they get to the bottom of everything. I will say, but even they said most recently that Gene Hackman's dog was misidentified. Did you hear that part?
I saw that.
They referred to that a couple of days ago. So, like,
what did they mean when it said it was misidentified? What do they mean by that?
Well, is
was it somebody else's dog?
Yes, that's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm kind of curious about.
It says
Sheriff's Office makes error about Gene Hackman's dog in initial death report. I'm looking at that specifically from the USA Today.
Wow. So is it like one of the dogs that was alive or the dog that passed? Like, that's just really, there's a lot of things that based on his body and her body and the dog and, you know, two dogs that were alive. Like, this is something like out of a true crime that I've never heard of, like, anything like this at all happening. Yeah. I mean, have you?
Like, yeah, it's just something. It's almost like something out of a movie, man.
Well, and a movie that would star Gene Hackman, ironically enough. I mean, it's just a really sad situation. And I really hope that this isn't how people are going to remember him, because I would really hope that people would look at his life and celebrate his career.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be remembered.
Yeah, it's just sad that
it's unfortunate.
You know, you have a Hollywood icon and a legend, and to think about what might have happened in the, like, leading up to his death, and what might have happened, like, when we find out whatever it is, it's going to be very, very interesting.
Yep. All right, that's going to wrap up headlines. Coming up next, I want to dive into one of the most underrated things that we can do in society these days. I'll tell you what that is next year on The Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh. When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.